Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. And hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and yes, even good night. In case you didn't hear that, because my microphone was actually not turned on properly, I said good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and even good night. Today, we are really excited to have Kristen Gisland join us today with a topic that is very, very relevant to everyday life in America these days. Yes, we are right in the middle still of the corona thingy that is not going away. I really thought it would be gone by now, but it doesn't seem that it's going anywhere anytime soon. So one of the elements that we are dealing with is fear, because when things are not certain, when things are not straight and ordinary, we tend to step into fear, which doesn't necessarily mean that there's something to be afraid of. Doesn't necessarily mean that our fear is good or bad or whatever. It just is there. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm so happy that you're here today. And thank you so much for being amazing.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, Tippy. You know, when I was thinking about what I wanted to do with the show today, I really just thought, I just want to be present with Tippy. And, you know, I hope that that really conveys, you know, out to everyone that listens to the show, because I'm really here, and I know you're really here, because we care and we want to be of service. And I just feel like it's such a privilege to be able to co-labor with like-minded souls, you know, to try to, you know, raise the vibe for everybody.
You know, I love that. I love the idea of just being here and allowing things to unfold naturally the way they should. And just really what we want and what we have in common, and what I love about it, is that we both really just want to be of service, and we both really just want to be as much as helpful as we can possibly be in our own way. And everybody has their own unique way of giving their gift to the world. And when you just sit back and say, okay, I'm going to let it come out naturally. I'm not going to push. I'm not going to try to change anything. It always comes out in a so much more beautiful way, rather than, no, I have an agenda and I have to cover that agenda no matter what. And so being flexible is one big part of it. And another big part of it is not getting overwhelmed for long periods of time. So I'm going to let you guys know that today we started this recording a little late. No, a lot late. And really, I had to get over being overwhelmed, and Kristen had to deal with my overwhelm and scheduling issues. And the way we came through it, and the way I see us here right now, I think we did a really beautiful job. And we definitely are ready to tackle what we're going to tackle today, which is, how do you handle fear? Which I think is really powerful, and it's something that we all need to know all the time, but especially right now. And there is fear of the unknown, that's for sure, but there's also fear of a lot of things that seem out of whack these days. Things don't seem to be what they are. And so, does that sound like a good thing to talk about, the fear and how to take steps to deal with it?
Oh, yeah, I'm totally on to, let's get a handle of, you know, some kind of a system, strategy, approach, something. Because I think if we make a friend, you know, if we try to make friends with our fear, we can actually find that there's some good stuff there. And, you know, it's real easy for those of us who are on a spiritual path to want to, at least I'll speak for myself, hop over fear or avoid fear or deny fear or, you know, some kind of not have to deal with fear. And yet I know from my own personal journey and from, you know, everything that's out there about consciousness that fear has an energy field. And if I'm unwilling to engage with that energy field, it's going to be able to kind of co-opt some of my subconscious motivation, activity, et cetera. And since my goal is to operate in the world consciously, then it's clear to me that it's important to embrace the fear and spend time with it and find out what it's about.
I love the idea that you said about making friends with it. I think that's really the bottom line, to make friends, not to run away, because what you run away from chases you and is there for you all the time. So making friends means creating a whole new reality. And I love that image of, okay, you seem like you're my enemy. You seem like you want to hurt me. Let's try being friends and see how that works out. And that's always great, because no matter what happens, that's always still your approach. So that's a beautiful way to look at it. But you do have specific steps that you spell out of how to handle it. And I think if we go through it, it might really be very helpful for people.
Well, the first thing that came to me was, sometimes we're not even really aware when we're feeling fear, because I think in our culture, it's probably one of the least talked about or socially acceptable emotions. And, you know, one thing you can do to see, you know, what's your fear, sort of your skill level with fear, is to think about how your family of origin dealt with fear. You know, was that something that was okay to have? Did your family talk about it if they were fearful? What did they do if they had fear? So you can kind of figure out, okay, is this something that I might be low, medium, or high skill with, you know, right from the jump. One thing that people tend to do, including myself, if I'm getting into a fear state, is that I will start to overdo. So that can be a symptom right there, to know if you are feeling fear, you may be handling that by overdoing, you know, really leaning into trying to control outcomes instead of allowing or watching or sensing into. So that could be a sign, you know, that you have fear that you might not be noticing. Another sign could be agitation. If you're feeling, you know, just more edgy or, you know, irritable than normal, that's another way that fear could show up. In your body, you could feel fear in terms of your breath, your, you know, tightness in your breath, you know, throat constriction, tension in the shoulders, or any other places in your body. Those could all be fear, you know, knocking at your door. So those are, you know, we're still on step one. Notice, accept, and feel your fear. So all of that, you know, are ways to sort of maybe self-check to see you know, if there might be some fear going on that hasn't even really hit your radar screen yet.
And so I have a question.
You know,
is do you think maybe that depression might be a different way of handling fear? Because right now I'm hearing that a lot of people are going into what they call their depression mode. Do you think that could be another way of handling fear?
It's possible because, you know, any emotion I think can camouflage as other things. People, I think maybe if they start to get into a fear state, they could be going into that fight or flight or freeze. You know, freezing is one of the other fear responses that we don't always talk about. And if you freeze for too long, you can easily slide into depression because your energy flow, you're blocking your own energy flow. So if you're not sure which way to go, sometimes freezing can happen. Paralysis. You know,
I think the fact that you even brought this up is something that is important for people to think about, and it's interesting how many different ways people react with when they feel the fear, and it has to do with how your family handled it. It has to also do with the things you might have experienced in life and how you tackle that. And I think it also has to do with how old you were when you first had to deal with the idea of fear. Because I think there's a lot of reactions to fear that you would never attribute to fear. So there is fight, flight, or freeze. But there's different ways of fighting, different way of fighting, and different way of freezing. So for example, what brought to my mind when you said that is since I felt fear the first time when my father died and I wasn't even quite 8 years old, and the way that at first I froze, you know, I totally went back to being a child, like wet bedding and everything. Then from there, I went to anger. So I guess anger can also be part of dealing with fear. But then the interesting thing was, I became obsessed with death. I had to read every book about death that I could possibly find because books are my, you know, my saviors. Everything about death. So it was books like Curse of the Vampires, Beast of Blood, to soul, what happens to the soul and reincarnation. Anything that had a death to do with death was something I would read. And we're talking about age 7. I became obsessed with that.
Right.
And I think that's part of fighting and part of confronting and trying to say, okay, how can I fight this thing? How can I understand it better so I can fight it? And so I think it's very interesting that sometimes even reading a book about it could be a way of dealing with fear. So the way you deal with fear isn't necessarily good or bad, but being aware of the way you deal with it, I think, is what you're talking about is really important.
Absolutely. Just having it on the radar screen, and that's funny because that was one of the exact things that came through my mind, is like, there are as many different ways to deal with fear, you know, as there are clouds in the sky, and it's changing and evolving and all that. It's like, okay, it's not that we have to have one set way to do it. And I was even going to say that. I'm like, okay, here, I've come up with these 6 steps, but, you know, anybody's, you know, reasonable system for dealing with fear is, you know, way better than not dealing with it, you know, or whatever, letting it get into your body and get stuck as a ulcer, you know, so... I mean, you know, before we even got to a show, you and I talked about how unresolved emotions can end up, you know, manifesting in disease. And so, you know, the idea of engaging with your emotions is not selfish or self-indulgent. It's actually part of what we need to do to stay healthy, you know, not like overly into them, but just, okay, this is part of my health, you know, like eating right or exercising or, you know, doing, you know, having good sleep habits, you know, taking care of your emotional life, you know, is part of what we need to do just to stay well. So, yeah.
Right, right.
And
so,
here's the thing that's so cool. I just want to say this thing that is so cool about what you did is kind of the whole point of what I wanted to bring out today, is that when you experience a fear state, it's natural. It's natural for us to want to go back to a balanced state. So we find ways of doing that because we are given this, you know, amazing human operating system that has all these different abilities. And you were like, your intellect kicked in and said, all right, I am going to get a handle on this, and I'm going to start reading, and I'm going to find out what this thing is, that this, you know, this death thing. I'm going to get a handle on it. So, you know, in a way, you know, that became a gift in your life, that at such an early age, you were getting introduced to spiritual ideas that were way beyond your years, you know, with, you know, reincarnation, this, that. And so right there, you know, the fear experience also came with gifts for you.
Right. And I think that you touched on something really important, because there's always a gift on the other side of fear if you go through a few steps. But also I wanted to mention before we go on to the steps and ideas on how to deal with it, is there is unhealthy ways to deal with fear, for sure. You know, if you go into a depression, you can just spiral downward. But it might be unhealthy for a while, but becoming aware of it is already part of the healing, is already starting to acquire your gift that always lies at the other end of whatever it is that's really scaring you and causing you fear and discomfort.
Yes. Awareness is always the beginning. Awareness is always the first step. So that's, we know that, even though sometimes when you start to sense into the fear, which is the next step, it does not always feel great. Okay. It's not like, oh, yay, I get to feel this now. No. So it's, and sometimes, you know, we may have to get away from our regular TikTok duties and activities to even really get the, you know, space to sense into what we're feeling. So this might mean, you know, getting some time alone, or being in a safe and comfy space away from the other activities and distractions, you know, of your life. And, you know, the breath is a beautiful way to, you know, sense into what you're feeling. And you can use the breath when you allow it to flow naturally, not even in a prescribed way, but just to be conscious of your breathing and aware of it. It can really help you feel into the emotion and also soften sort of the edges of it. You know, as you breathe, your body will automatically start to move and process, you know, the intensity of that feeling. And when I was thinking about sensing into fear, part of, I think, what is hard about fear as a particular emotion is that sometimes we're not sure where it's coming from. So it just starts to take on this big sort of formless thing that we can't really handle. So I was thinking, if you're dealing with a fear feeling and you're not really sure what to do with it, you could even imagine, does it have a color? You know, does it have a texture? Does it have a smell or a scent? You know, what happens to your body when you're sensing into this fear? You know, do you feel it in a particular part of your body? You know, some people feel it in their gut or their shoulders, or, you know, their legs could tighten. So, you know, finding out what's going on with it and giving it some qualities or characteristics gives a little bit of a handle, you know, there on how to start making friends with it. Okay, well, what is it you're even dealing with? And, of course, you know, when you start to sense into the fear, you might also start to find, you know, thoughts flying through your head that are fear, you know, related to that fear. And it's, you know, in our mindfulness practice, you know, we're always just being aware, you know, instead of like increasing the energy or the different elements of what that those fear thoughts are like, we try to take a little bit of a step back and watch. So, you know, we may be looking at those fear thoughts in the cargo train, but we don't want to jump on the train with it. You know, we want to let that cargo, those thoughts in the cargo car, just sort of roll on by, but know that they're there. And, you know, this is our chance, our opportunity to love ourselves and to just observe, you know, what happens to us when we're sensing into that fear, to observe and to accept, you know, with compassion what happens. That's it, you know, observing, accepting what happens when we're feeling into that fear.
I think you kind of covered over here step one and step two, where step one would be more like noticing, becoming aware of it, accepting it, and feeling it. And then step two would be kind of sensing into it and connecting with it and taking a look to see how it is affecting you, where in your body might be, what your behavior is. So step one and step two are very powerful. And I think that in itself, if you just do that in itself, you already tackled it and you already are okay. But we're going to also have a few more steps to take. But I just wanted to let people know, if you're calling in, I opened up a chat box so that you can chat and let me know what your name is and what it is that you're specifically interested in. So if you go to the link that I'm going to text you. If you're on the call here waiting and you're listening, I'm going to text you a link just if you're interested, so that you click on that link, it'll automatically take you into the chat room because we are recording right now. And if you have something to tell us, that would be a great way to communicate. Just wanted to let you know that I'm going to be sending you one pretty soon. And Kristen, we are already given so much information about it. And I really think that part of it is really just discussing it and being willing to admit that, yes, you have fear. Because one of the things that you can do when you really are afraid is deny that and act really tough on the outside. And that's great because that's a reaction, but accepting it and stopping to deny it is really a growth. So I really want to mention that that's also a form of fear, is denial and acting really tough. And that's also was part of me when I first came to New York. I was so scared, and I would be taking the subway 2 o'clock in the morning, but nobody that would ever see me would, because I was so tough, and I would walk with the keys sticking out between my fingers, ready to punch anybody that came my way with that, punching their eyes out. Nobody would really know that I was so scared. I was really scared shitless because I was so tough on the outside. So I think that's also another form that we can become aware of that is there.
Right, so, exactly. That if you're going into super tough mode, you might actually be feeling fear underneath it all.
Yeah, like, what are you really afraid of? Exactly. So I love that you covered that. And I think we can go up now into step three. And I don't think it's like step. I think they all kind of intertwine with each other. But sanity's sake, breaking it down to steps makes it easier. So let's talk about giving it a form and how we're using then the imagination. How would you do that? Because that would be another step.
Well, you know, the first thing that came to my mind when you said, you know, step one and step two, you've really done a lot of work. And what came to me was that's because we took something that was kind of running around in the subconscious and we brought it into the conscious. And that's like that awareness move. That piece is so big because, you know, once it's out, then you are not being run by it anymore. Okay, you may not know where to go yet, but at least it's not secretly running the show. And that's a big deal there. So then we start to ask our imagination, you know, where we can tap into all that is, you know, our spiritual, our sort of the positive elements of the collective unconscious. You know, what is this fear? You know, is it a creature? Is it a mineral, a vegetable? What can it do? Can it move around? Is it stuck in one place? What type of an environment is it living in? Does it look like a natural and unnatural place it lives? Is it dangerous, safe? Is it somewhere in between? You know, so, you know, hey, you know, it could be like a little blue blob thing that scoots around on the floor. You know, that's what your fear form is. Oh, hey, down there, you know, you need a drink of water? You know, kind of not having it, you know, as soon as that starts to happen, if you notice, like even when I was saying that, the fear level starts to go down because now you're building a really true relationship with something that might have vulnerabilities too, instead of it having like all the power, you know, when it's in that subconscious state and you're not really sure what it is or whatever, it's holding a lot of power. But then when we start to interact with it and find out what it is and, you know, see what its characteristics are, the power we're giving away to it, it's more like there's a shared thing going on, you know, where we're we're equivalent. We have the same amount of power. Or maybe that thing even might even need my assistance in some way. So, you know, that energy is very different. It's more, has more movement in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more concrete because you're actually
right.
narrowing it down.
Yep, it's more concrete, and then we can start to say, hey, what's up? And let's just go back a little bit to what you were talking about in terms of, like, the first time you felt fear that you was, you know, disabling was when your father passed. And
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times when we're feeling a fear now, it's because we're being triggered by a fear from the past, that whatever is happening in this moment feels in some form or fashion like something that happened before. And so then if we can get our finger on what that thing was from the past, we can start to see, okay, what happened at that time, and tell the story like you just told me. You told me the story of, okay, when my dad died, you know, I was really scared. And so my strategy was that I started to do research about death, and I became a death expert at 7. and really, when we have whatever experiences that we have throughout our lives, there's, you know, when we feel it again in the present, there's usually always these critical, you know, shock or trauma activating things that happened, you know, along the way. And it's great if we can identify what those things were, because now you start to see how it's like a storyline that, you know, started at a certain time in your life, and then it just continues to go on. And, you know, that increases, like, our awareness of how maybe there's, we're involved, okay, we're involved with telling the story, and, you know, we're seeing reality in a way maybe that's shaped on things that have happened before rather than exactly what's going on right now. You know, our vision has been affected in some form or fashion.
Right, right. And
yeah.
And sometimes you're not even aware that you're doing it. It just happens naturally the way you're being led to do. You're not necessarily going to sit down and say, okay, how am I going to react now? No, it's just, you just do it. And then eventually you become aware of it if you actually sit down and think about it.
Right,
so
exactly. It's that little extra step, you know, of reflection. And so then that's what the next step actually is. Have a conversation with the fear. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, asking it, you know, why is it showing up now? You know, why
mm-hmm.
at this moment is it showing up? Which is sort of what we would ask ourselves, like, you know, for you in your case, you know, you know, with all of these people passing, you know, the idea that you're having to deal with a lot of death around you, especially being, you know, near, you know, the greater New York area, there were a lot of people that passed, you know, in that, you know, beginning wave. And I'm sure that would trigger some of that original shock and trauma that you experienced, you know, around your father's death, you know, one of the most personal and close relationships that you know, that we ever have with a parent. And so that would sure, you know, that would be like, okay, this makes sense. The next thing I would say to your fear is, you know, what useful purpose is its appearance playing? Our emotions come out for a reason. You know, they show up to support and help us in some form or fashion. So we don't want to throw away, you know, even though fear is, you know, yes, a back brain response, the amygdala, we don't want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, spiritual bypass, I'm not going to pay attention to what this fear is telling me. You know, we all ought to be taking as many precautions that are humanly possible to keep ourselves safe and well, you know, during the virus. And fear, you know, fear is a deep instinctual energy that has a lot of power that doesn't have to just be putting us in a fight or flight or freeze state. But when we can acknowledge that energy
and say, okay, where do I go with this? That's important. Now, the other question that I asked her that is kind of funny is, what is it up to, the fear, when it is not showing itself? To me, that's probably a scarier thing. Like, if you have fear but you're not seeing it, what might it be doing in the background of your life?
Right. Exactly. What is it? How is it affecting your life? And how are you doing things that are reactive to it rather than things that you might want to control? So that's a really important thing that you could think about. And again, we're coming down to the point of thinking about it and contemplating it and working on it rather than ignoring it and hiding your face in the sand and saying, no, I'm not dealing with it. That's really the bottom line.
And sometimes we have to trick ourselves a little bit because our superconscious self doesn't want to believe that this is really going on. But when we step out of the left brain a little, like if we said, oh, here's my, like for me, this blue blob on the floor that represents my fear, and I started talking to it, and I said, well, why are you here now? And, you know, maybe it says to me, well, the place I was living in was very dry, and I like a more watery environment. You know, what does that mean? You know, sometimes you can get data and understanding into yourself that is coming from the right side of the brain. Because, you know, sometimes when we ask ourselves directly a question, we get nothing. You know, like, well, I have no idea. You know, I don't know why I'm feeling like that right now. So using, you know, different strategies or techniques to get a conversation going with that energy can open up some new insights or ways of understanding or seeing yourself that you might not if you just go straight down, you know, the left brain linear track, or even drawing a picture of your fear. You know, what would it look like if you could draw a picture of it? You know, so there's ways to sort of get that relationship happening that can give you clarity. And, you know, even the next question I put in number 5 is, how is it the fear influencing your thinking, speaking, and actions? You know, maybe there's a lot of people that I work with that don't always speak their truth. You know, they're still afraid that if they own their true experience, something bad is going to happen. Because as kids, they were shut down, or they were in a relationship where they weren't feeling comfortable speaking their truth. Whatever. And so they're being confined, you know, in some way by this fear energy. And my sense is at this point in time, with so much going on outside of ourselves that we really cannot control or influence directly, taking responsibility for the parts of our life that we do have choice over becomes ever so more important. It's like you can only deal with so much confinement, fear, or restriction. So the part that we can influence needs to be influenced so that we have resiliency for dealing with the parts of the things that are happening in the larger culture. And I have found a couple, like, new clients have come to me to deal with things that are, you know, they're like in my social friend group. And they had stuff started to go on, or things were revealed to them because of the intensity of what's happening with Corona. And they're like, I have to deal with this now. I can't wait any longer. So, you know, in a way, you know, these are gifts, you know, for these people, because they have decided there was some kind of fear factor or old behavior strategy, you know, program belief system that was causing them to do behaviors or put up with situations that they're now like, no, this is, I'm not doing this anymore. I need a new plan. I got to get a new program.
Yeah, and that's a growing experience. That's a great idea of it. These days, we really are dealing with things that we never had to deal with before. So I think also redefining and handling things that we were afraid to handle becomes easier. doing things you never thought you were going to do becomes easier. And everything is changing so rapidly that I think as a human being, our DNA is going to also change along with it on how we handle everything. But fear seems to be one of those things that most people are experiencing for one reason or another. Fear of getting sick, fear of not knowing what's going on, fear of a million different things that might have affected you before. So I love that you said that people are actually starting to deal with things that they really were not dealing with before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
great.
Yeah,
and it's exciting. And for me, you know, as a person who tries my best to lean into whatever my perceived growth edge is, I know that there are things that I didn't want to deal with, but I've had to take some risks and move through some fears too. And there'll be more. I know there's not more. I know that's not over. One of the things that I do too is, you know, when I have my prayer time with the universe, I actually ask directly for courage. Please give me courage. And it's been my experience that courage does not come in like, here's your giant courage infusion. It has come to me as I needed it to complete the next steps of my journey, to take the next risks in my personal or professional life, things that were a little out of my comfort zone. Okay, I'm going to tackle that. And then once I did tackle that, then it was, okay, on to the next challenge. But it feels that courage comes incrementally. And I always like to think about what the antidote is to any particular, if there's a lot of fear, then, oh, that means I might need some courage to balance that out. And, you know, so that feels, and it almost feels, I will use the word magical, when it appears, you know, when I find myself going someplace or doing something that was previously too scary to do, and then it just happens, or I just am like, oh, like when you're a kid and you learn to ride your bike, you know, you're like, oh, I'm riding my bike now. And you're like, wow, it's happening, you know, oh, it's happening, that's cool. And yeah, you actually did the things, you know, the practice and all that, but then when it really happens, you're excited and you know, joyous, because you're like, wow, I'm freer, I'm more free now, I can do that thing that I was afraid to do, or speak that truth that I was afraid to speak. And for me, there's a lot of joy, you know, and freedom on the other side of fear. And, you know, I guess that's sort of the part of the gift. We all, as individuals, have strategies for dealing with situations. And I invite people to go back and look at how they dealt with fear in the past. And, you know, see, okay, you know, like some people, maybe they had, you know, difficulty with a parent and that parent intimidated them or stressed them out or whatever. And so then they would take refuge in nature. So then that person builds a really positive relationship, you know, with nature. And this is part of, you know, what we do in the Theta Healing process, is we look for what were the constructive strategies that people use to get through difficult times. And mark those lessons as complete, that they no longer need to manifest the negative side of whatever went with learning that strength or strategy or aptitude, and say, hey, you know, from now on, you can access, like in my case, courage. You can access courage, you know, from the universe's point of view. You'll know when to and how to and what it feels like to access courage. Just on a day-to-day basis without needing to manifest fearful circumstances. So,
yeah, I think one of the most important things that you said is that there's a lot of joy and freedom on the other side of fear. And that's, if you keep that in mind, it makes it so much easier to go through it. I think that's really one of the most important things to keep in mind.
Right. And at the end of the day, you know, and one of the things that I think is becoming clearer to people because of the corona situation is that at the end of the day, it's our joy and our freedom and our, you know, our joie de vivre
that matters. That's the big thing. You know, do we feel alive, you know, in our day? Do we feel that whatever is happening, you know, in our day-to-day life is worth it? That's where the action is. And I think that the suffering and loss that has come along with Corona has also given a lot of people a lot of perspective over what they want to keep in their life and cultivate and what they want to move on or let go from.
Yeah, it has given a lot of people clarity. That's what you mean. Clarity on
purpose,
clarity of mission, and also clarity of the fear. And I think even more than that, it also has given a lot of people the appreciation of all the things that we used to take for granted, that we cannot take for granted right now because it's not possible to even have it. And it's true that they say that you don't appreciate something until after it's gone, but it is true. You know, you appreciate it more and you hopefully will come back and be more grateful for everything that you have. And I think you touched on all the steps that you wanted to touch on, which was 1 through 6. So let me just give a quick summary of what we went through. And that way I can ask you something else that I'm not sure we have. So basically there are 6 steps that you could take. And the first one, which is I think the most important one, is becoming aware. So that's the step of noticing, accepting, and feeling your fear, right?
Yep.
And then after that is sensing into it. How does it feel like? What does it smell like? All those more intricate details on what it is that you're experiencing. That would be kind of step number 2, going into it. Step number 3 is giving it an actual concrete form. What is it doing inside your body? Right, that's what you talk about, or what is it doing in your environment? How is it affecting your life?
Right, and this is, you know, a little bit use your imagination, because, you know, if you can give it some dimension, form dimension, you know, is it an animal? Is it a mineral? Is it a vegetable? You know, kind of question.
Right.
You know, what is it able to do? Just to kind of get it into a form that's a little more manageable, because fear can be very like blankety and oppressive and take up a lot of space. And I think it's challenging to deal with when it's like all over the place like that.
And also when you define and you know the borders, then it's easier for you to conquer them, because now you know exactly what you're conquering. So I think there's more to that than that. And then step number 4 is finding out what it is that activates it. Why do you feel that way? Where did it come from? What happened to make it that way? Why specifically fear of this and not something else? Or did it ever happen before? Did I pretty much cover that?
Yep, okay. Very good.
And then number 5, which I love, is to put a face on it, like have a conversation with it. Ask all the questions that you want to ask, like, what are you doing here? How long are you going to stay? Are you staying for dinner? Basically. And I like that because you can also at that point explore maybe things that are not as obvious as you think. And you can actually go into parts of it that may not be so readily available until you start asking those questions. And so that pretty much covers step number 5. And then step number 6, my biggest takeaway from that is what happens on the other side of fear. Because that's the really important thing. And that's really what makes you understand that it's not necessarily a bad thing. And it's not necessarily a good thing. It's just a thing. How did you handle it previously to now?
Right.
And what did you learn from that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that this is a skill set now. You know, it's like, okay, you've got that down. And, you know, we want to say, yeah, I know how to handle that, but make the choice that I don't need to keep creating that necessarily. You know, give credit to the fear strategy and say, okay, I got that. You know, I don't need to manifest situations and circumstances in my life that trigger this because I already know how to handle this. I can have new experiences.
And I love the question that you ask at the end of this, which would be a great way to complete it, which ask yourself the question, are you ready to check it off and mark it as complete? Are you ready to say, okay, next, bring it on. Now I can handle it. Now that I have a system, bring on the next one and let's start the process all over again. Because I think it's never ending.
Oh, we're always going to have new challenges. Hopefully, through our consciousness, we're able to shape those in ways that our life becomes more gentle, you know, and there's a greater amount of joy and freedom, you know, and bliss and less pain and suffering, you know, as we become more conscious. Surely, you know, we aspire to more of the positive emotions without attachment and to be able to support and guide others, you know, in that way.
That's beautiful. And it's beautifully said. So before we let you go to close it, I was just wondering if you happen to have your cards handy.
Oh, I do. Of course I do.
I know that, but that's why I'm asking you because you never know.
And what did we ask, Tippi?
So the question that we have, that I have on my mind, and that is more encompassing, is something that has to do with today. I like the idea of getting up every morning and asking a question. And the question that came to me today was, what can I do today to replace my whatever it is that's bothering me? So for me right now, it's food with pleasure, or to replace fear with action, or what can I do today to replace something I don't like with something that gives me pleasure?
Okay, great. We're going to somehow four piles have made themselves here. And I'm going to go into each one of the four piles and see what comes out. So it's going to be a multi-step process. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, the first card that comes out is the Equilibrium card. This is the Two of Cups for the Tarot people. In the Voyager deck, we see a lot of blue and green around the outside of this card and some beautiful yellow sort of solar plexus color flowers in the middle. This is, you know, first thing we have to do is get back to our evenness into our state of equilibrium. So whatever it is that's pushing or pulling us, let's first get centered. Okay, then we see the Magician card. And, you know, in a lot of ways, this card is, you know, do we believe, do we have faith, you know, that it's possible to sort of pull a rabbit out of a hat? Can we, do we have the ability to transform, you know, whatever is going on with the help of the universe? So once we set our belief in line and we say, yes, this is transformable, you know, then our magician power is activated.
Amazing.
Okay. And then we have, this is an interesting card. It's the Five of Worlds in the Wandless deck, which would be Five of Pentacles in the regular Tarot. And this is sort of a card that sometimes confuses people. It's the Setback card. But Setback can also be Step Back, which is to step back and be patient. You know, wait, take a break, just let things gel. And then we have the Achiever card. Okay.
The what?
So
which one?
The card, the Achiever, or the Man of the World.
Oh, the Achiever. Got it.
So once we go to a state of equilibrium, set the request, send it out to the universe, and wait. Mm-hmm. It's that waiting part that's sometimes hard. But it's during that, it's almost like that's when we go into the place of receiving. So, you know, maybe we need different information. Maybe we need, you know, a change of venue. You know, what is it? There's something that we have to wait to receive sometimes in these processes. Like, I'm doing a lot of upgrades with my nutrition right now. I just got a different supplement. I got a key to my juicer. I have a really good juicer, but I didn't have the key to be able to clean it. So, you know, my digestive tract has been talking to me for 10 years, and I'm just now starting to really embrace the changes. And a lot of new data is coming to me. You know, mm-hmm. I'm learning more about the leaky gut stuff, but it's because I think I believed, I did believe that I could feel better, you know, that mm-hmm. I didn't need to mm-hmm. feel yucky. So mm-hmm. now all this new information is coming. And as I implement my new, I'm getting this new digestive helper thing from Dr. Gundry, and I'm getting the juicer key is coming, and I have my, you know, protein supplement that I use. You know, I'm getting all of these pieces together. Pretty soon, I will be the achiever, the man of worlds card, or in, it would be man of wands. It doesn't exactly translate in the regular tarot from Voyager, but I'm just saying that for tarot people. The achiever card shows like a runner on the front with number one and the Colosseum and, you know, all these like smart guys in the background and an airplane, a glider flying over. So I will be the achiever. And that is what I would say to you for people who wake up on a given day and whatever their challenge has been day in and day out, you know, the mm-hmm. first thing is get yourself to reset, you know, let go of the stress of the situation, get to your center point, make your aspirative wish, be ready to receive, and then be open to the solutions and strategies that will come to you.
Wow. That's very powerful. And I have to tell you something that I think is a little bit strange. I happen to have a juicer sitting in my kitchen behind the sink for the past 6 months that I have not touched. Yesterday, it's interesting that you mentioned the juicer today, because yesterday of all days on this planet, I decided to use it. So I took out the carrots and the celery or whatever it is that I wanted to juice. And I started juicing, and the juicer was leaking, and there was carrot juice all over my counter, all over the floors. And, you know, that stains, and my kitchen is white, so I had to stop everything and clean it up, and I wasn't going to give up, and I tried to fix it, and I did it again. I managed to squeeze out one glass of juice that I wanted to juice, but guess what I did right after that? I literally took that juicer, put it in a plastic bag, and threw it in the garbage because I was so frustrated with it. So that's my juicer story of yesterday, and I thought it was very interesting that you brought up the fact that you also just very recently, like today or yesterday, used the juicer. And I don't know what that means or if it even means anything, but it's definitely some kind of a juicer connection.
Well, you know, the juices, think about the juice of life. You know, what does juice represent? You know, juice is nutrition and life and vitality. And, you know, maybe it's just time for you to have a different juicer. You know, maybe that juicer is just
absolutely
over in your
this
life.
Juicer is in the garbage already. I have no choice.
Yeah, it's
one,
like,
but...
and so what does that mean symbolically for you? You know, maybe that
means
the reason... that new.
Yeah, go ahead. It means that.
New juice is coming for you from someplace new. There's new juice coming in from somewhere else.
Yes, Kristen, but the reason I brought it up is I thought it was pretty synchronized with your juicing. And of all days, really after 6 months, yesterday was the day I decided to try it. And you bring up juicing today. You didn't know that I went through it yesterday. You had no idea. I never told you that story. But somehow you also had some kind of a juicing experience within the last day or so. I thought that's why I brought it up.
It's the magic of the universe, you know. It's that synchronicity that's just flowing around all the time. And
amazing.
And yes, that does happen for me, that somehow those things become, they tap into the storyline.
Amazing. Totally amazing. Unbelievable. Thank you so much for reading those cards. That was beautiful. And thank you for joining us. I think this is one of the very important things to deal with these days, and it's very relevant today, which is 7/20. 7 happens to be my favorite number. It's also the day of the month that I was born, the 7th month. So 7 is like one of those things that I always pick as a number. Just happens to be my number, my birth number, the number I always pick, my favorite number. Everything for me is around 7. It happens to be 7/7 today. So obviously the synchronicity is huge. And what we talked about is very, very relevant and very, very important.
Very interesting. I love when all that stuff lines up. It's so much fun.
It is. It's fantastic. So thank you so much for joining us. And I want to wish you a magical journey, which it seems that you already are having. And let your talent be your potion.
Thank you so much. I love collaborating with you, Tiffy. It's always fun. We always make more together, which is the way it should be. You know, the synergy is wonderful. So peace and happy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Enjoy your day. Been
running through me. Thank you. Like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
We all go running.